Hello. Welcome to the Read Pod. Hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please subscribe to us via iTunes and you can check us out at thereadpod.com. Thanks for listening.
Hello, listeners, and hello, Bennett.
How are you, bud?
Fantastic, mate. Happy Friday to you.
Yeah, happy Friday. It's a good time to be alive, isn't it?
It is. It's fantastic. So, what's the weather like in Japan? How's your day treating you?
Actually, it's beautiful. This time of year is nice. It's 25 degrees. Not a cloud in the sky. So, it's nice. Yeah.
Lovely. Yeah, it's just getting hot here. Here in Oz, it's just starting to get that summer heat.
Northerlies kicked in.
Northerlies are kicking in hard today. And, yeah, which is a bit, I'm hoping we get a few nice cooler winds, but it's already northerlies, which aren't that great.
And what are you in? Oh, no, that's not too bad. What are we in? October, end of October. You can probably deal with that. You get a bit worried when it's the end of August and they're coming through.
Yeah, well, yeah, we had a long sort of winter. It was raining up until recently. But, yeah, fun times. I'm pretty pumped for today's pod topic. So we obviously everyone's sort of talking about Kelly on the Joe Rogan pod.
Yeah, you watched it? Or you listened to it?
Yeah, I listened to it. Yep.
Yeah, I watched it on YouTube. I tend to watch a lot of those ones just to kind of get a bit more of a understanding of how they're acting as well. I find it a little bit easier to connect sometimes.
Yeah, I think what it showed of Kelly, so Kelly Slater was on the Joe Rogan pod maybe a week ago, and Kelly Slater is he is the best, greatest surfer of all time. What I think it showed of him is how much he's passionate about the sport.
Yeah.
Like, he is one of the best, like, as far as, like, you can think of some sports and maybe the greatest player in the sport, you're like, oh, he's cool, but he's, like, Kelly is a real leader that you're happy to have as the face of surfing.
Yeah, agreed. What he's doing is the eternal Grom.
He's the eternal Grom, and he's given up. He's lived a life that is alternative to what others think. You know, he's pretty much alcohol free, and always has been. He's had partners, and obviously he's got a daughter, but really never settled in one spot and lived the life of a nomad. Has countries around the world, so he's a student of what's going around the world. So when he speaks on stuff, I'm not saying I agree with everything he says. I tend to listen to it more than someone else that hasn't spent so much time on the road in other cultures. Do you agree?
Yeah. Yeah. Like what he was saying, that he's got houses in, you know, all parts of the world, and when he was a kid, that's what he wanted to do. So it's always been there in his mind. So it goes to show it's that kind of how you have those ideals of what you think is for life, and he's living it. And he's probably living a life that a lot of us would love to live, but it's not possible with the families and all that stuff.
Yeah, definitely. It isn't, but it does show you that the conventional lifestyle of just getting married and having kids and getting a job and paying a mortgage, it's not, you don't have to do it. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't have to be done like that.
No, he does have, it's not that he's got it pretty good though, so he wouldn't be hard pressed for a dollar. So all these things make it easier for him.
Of course.
One thing I did find interesting was how he talked about, and this is when you look at surfing now and how everyone's training. Did you hear him mention that he doesn't train? That he's just, his idea of training is that he's trying to get the longevity, so he's not trying to burn himself out, which I found really interesting to see with what's actually going on now.
I think it is interesting, and he was a pioneer with yoga, all of the health stuff. You look at him, and he's – how old is he?
46.
46, and he does not look like he's – he looks incredible. And to be honest, that was something with the pod, and once again, sort of with these Joe Rogan pods, where I would have liked to hear more about Kelly's family life and how he's dealt with that, like, and the struggles that he's had with that. More about his sort of health regime and how that he thinks that's, and also a look into Kelly went to Rhythmia. Have you heard about this Rhythmia place?
No, fill me in.
So Rhythmia is a place where you basically you can go and do ayahuasca in a environment that's sort of like a health retreat.
Mm-hmm.
And it's rumored, I mean, Kelly's on the website saying that he went there, and that's pretty much the main thing you do there. And he's stated on that website that it basically was a life-changing experience for him from a perspective point of view. And for someone like Kelly going to do something like that, I would have just loved to hear more about his spiritual, without sounding, you know, too airy-fairy, but a guy who has just been at the peak for so long, I would have liked to have understood a bit more of how his mentality is there. But instead, yeah. I felt like we sat there watching Joe Rogan watch surf clips and him having no understanding of the sport of, well, the world of surfing.
Mm.
Which sort of annoyed me a bit because it showed a bit of a closed-mindedness almost.
Yeah, they're trying to find the connection. And I think what's really good about Joe Rogan is that they're finding that interest and then they'll go off on that. So they'd occasionally get into something like that. So it was almost like they both had – Kelly was really wanted to talk to him about MMA. So he was fanning out a little bit.
Yeah.
To be honest, we don't want to hear Kelly talk for half an hour about MMA. We want to hear about the side of Kelly that we don't know.
Exactly. Like, I know he's got a daughter, obviously, that he loves a lot. How has that life on the road been for him? And how has he managed that from a mental standpoint? Just as a veteran and one of the people that is looked up to, really, as far as longevity in sport and life.
Yeah. How he's kept that longevity, how he's kept himself with that competitive mindset for so long.
Exactly.
Because there's not many people, when you work out that he's been competing for, he's saying on the tour or something, for 27 years or something, what other sport have you got with someone that's actually has been at the top of their game for so long? So to hear someone talk about how they do that, would be eye-opening.
Exactly. And I know, like, we look at MMA as a hardcore sport as far as, you know, you're putting your bodies on the line. But there's very few sports like surfing as far as you're near death. Like, if you look at Tahiti and things like that, where the waves and everything that they're doing is completely life-threatening, I think... Yeah, I just think it would have been good to delve into that a bit more.
Yeah, and on that topic, how many, like, when you really think about it, regards to sports, I know if you look at motorsports, it's pretty dangerous. There's a lot of deaths in it. But
it's dangerous, but you're on a track with armor.
It's a controlled
environment.
Yeah, but surfing, you'd have to think that it would be one of the, like, if they went back and went, okay, how many deaths have occurred from surfing? Not just competitive surfing, but surfing in general. It would be up there. So it'd have to be one of the most dangerous sports, dangerous hobbies even.
Exactly. It has to be. And, yeah, I just feel like that whole interview made me, as someone who loves the water and loves the ocean, proud that Kelly is a spokesman for surfing. I feel like I watched it and I was just like, this guy is a great spokesman for the sport and a great leader and always will be. But it also made me think, how great is the gap between people understanding surfing and what he has accomplished to what other professional sports people and what other great athletes of their time have accomplished.
Yeah, so it's how his, I guess, reach, where his reach goes. Does this extend his reach to a population that hasn't even experienced, or does that just make them go, what the fuck, even more?
Well, I think, unfortunately, they look at it like, oh, it's nothing, it's surfing, and we'll get to this. What he's accomplished is nothing, and it's not, he's not even in the conversation. Whereas, like, as far as, like, athletes and people that have accomplished a lot in the field of sport, I feel like Kelly's up there in GOAT territory.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. Something interesting, and I just wanted to wait till you got through that thought, and you're talking about the spiritual thing. I listened to a pod and it had Mike Stewart on there, and he was talking about DMT, and he went through his whole DMT experience really went through it. You should have a listen at some point.
So Mike Stewart's another one. If you don't know him, I mean, everyone in the world of surfing knows him. He's one of the greatest watermen of all time. He is a bodyboarding. He's won the world title of bodyboarding. How many times?
I wouldn't be able to tell you. It's
probably more than Slater.
No, I think if you looked at his bodyboarding and then body surfing world titles, he would be probably more than 11. I'm not exactly sure.
He's an incredible person to look up, and an incredible person to just check out his interviews. Very humble sort of dude too, by from an outsider's point of view, don't you think?
Yeah, and probably along the same lines as Kelly is the spokesperson for this. He's 54 and he's still competing.
Wow. Mike Stewart. Yeah, I mean, you think Kelly doesn't get enough respect? Mike Stewart obviously does not get enough respect.
Yeah, I saw some clips this morning, and he's shooting some video in Tahiti, and it's body surfing.
Wow. At Chopra.
At Chopra, and it's like 6 foot.
Wow.
And he's getting fully, yeah. So here, I just quickly looked at this. He won Pipe 11 times, 9 world titles. He's been the Pipe Body Surfing Classic champion 15 times. So the Body Surfing Classic 15 times. So I think that's how they decide the world champion in the body surfing. So he's pretty much
equivalent to Kelly.
Yeah, but he's just doesn't have the reach because of where bodyboarding is compared to surfing, I guess.
Definitely. And that sort of leads me. So this whole pod, we wanted to discuss greatest of all time lists, GOAT lists, and see whether we can get sort of like a definitive top five or like somewhere close. The funny thing is you look at it, and the way I started defining it is sports that everyone in the world have access to and sports that not everyone in the world, like only some people have access to. I feel like you've got to separate the two.
Yeah, when I was thinking about it, I was thinking of the reach. And so what kind of audience, how many people is it going to? And kind of what the influence is on general, I guess, pop culture.
Yeah.
And just general culture.
Because you look at surfing, right, as great as Kelly is and amazing as he is, someone that lives in the desert or someone that can't afford a surfboard, unfortunately can't become a professional surfer.
Yeah. Well, and you look at go to Europe, specifically Europe and Africa, how many people do you think have heard of Slater compared to hearing of someone like Ronaldo or Messi in this current time?
Of course. So what we're going to do is sort of what we think defines a GOAT. You've got a few categories. I've got a few categories which help me make up my list. Do you want me to start with a few that I used?
Yeah. No, you fire away.
Okay. So I just had a few bits. So in-game skill, off-court, mental. So like how he'd mentally get over his he or her competitors. Overall dominance, reach and influence. That's the sort of stuff that and then I separated it into two different lists. So
okay.
The sports, like running to me is a sport where everyone can do it anywhere from anything. So if a kid's got feet, they're running, right?
Yeah.
So that sort of is a type A sport. And then the sports like golf, tennis, surfing is a type B sport.
Yeah. So along the lines of what you're saying, there's a few things. Like I had consistency as one of the things. So, and consistency and longevity. So how long has someone been doing something? How long have they been at the top of or at the pinnacle of their sport? One thing that I was thinking of is the quality of opposition. Mm. So you might have it where someone's been, okay, at the top, but at that stage, maybe the sport was going through its ebbs and flows. There weren't a lot of great people. Maybe a generation is just, you know, you have those generations which are like, oh, that generation was the best. Especially when you go through basketball and you look at, say, your Bulls generation, then your Lakers, and then
Celtics before that.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it has its ebbs and flows. And then along the same lines is, so the rivalries for, I guess, for your type B sports that you're talking about. So if there's someone, and take the example of Kelly, maybe he didn't have too much of a strong rivalry with anyone until Andy came along. So that how did they deal with someone like that as well? So were they crushed in defeat? Were they brought back to earth a little bit? So I think that's important.
Mm.
And then the other one, which is one of our favorite topics, so drugs. So were they ever kind of being investigated? So is there a cloud? Do we need to put an asterisk? In my opinion, like I've said last time, I don't really care. If everyone was doing it, then it's fair game.
Well, you don't care, but I'm guessing we're ruling Lance Armstrong off of all of these lists.
So, and that's a good one because everyone at that time was on it. So
cycling is instantly removed as a sport.
Yeah.
You're not going to have a goat coming from cycling. It's been proven to be a drug, heavily drug influenced sport for too long. There's no point having it in the topic. We've got to assume that a lot of these other sports, until proven guilty, we've got to assume that if they haven't been proven guilty and there's not a large percentage of the people in it doing drugs, well, yeah, then we can include it.
Yeah, and we can't. Yeah, let's not speculate on what we think about the drugs. We've done that before, so we'll just, if they haven't been charged or convicted of taking drugs or banned, so we're not gonna take that into consideration.
Okay, so type A or type B aside, do you want to just start with one person that you were gonna put in your, this is no order, top 10, whatever, top 5, whatever, this is just roughly GOAT status.
Yeah, and this is going to, I guess it won a little bit out of left field, but it's definitely warranted, was Schumacher.
Oh, wow. I didn't have him on any of my lists.
Yeah, I just thought of it because we're all going to look at the probably some similar people. And I think we've got to say this now, we're probably not going back too far.
No, we're not.
We both were thinking, how far do we go back on this? But we're probably not as knowledgeable. We're not knowledgeable anyway, but we're not going to have as much information on older people. So it's probably, what would you say, in the last 50 years we're talking? Last 40
roughly
years?
Roughly last 50 years, bar, I think, one that we mentioned earlier off the pod. which I think we'll bring on.
Yeah, that's going to get a special mention a bit later.
Without going too far into him, Kelly, you know, this is another thing about Kelly. He's a man of the world, and he mentioned about this guy in the pod the other day.
Yeah, so what's your kind of impression of Schumacher? And I know that now no one knows how he is, or you don't hear anything after that accident.
Well, it's crazy. When you type in Michael Schumacher record into Google, the second, you know, thing that people ask, when did Michael Schumacher die? But he's still in. It says, though. Oh, no. So, yeah, he's still in a coma. No, he's out of the coma. He left hospital, but no one has seen him.
Mm.
So the guy had 91 wins and 7 titles. Big thing with car racing and motorsport in general, I feel, is money and condition of the vehicle means so much.
Yeah.
Are we right there?
I'm agreeing with that. And that's, you can almost, at that stage, it was, if you're driving a Ferrari, you had a little bit of an edge.
Exactly.
But the skill still comes into it. You've still got to go and do it.
You've still got to go and do it. And you look at how dangerous a sport is. It's incredibly dangerous. I think he's an interesting conversation. I don't think he cracked the top 10, and he's definitely a type B.
Yeah. So the reason I mention it as well is just because of his early career, because he just dominated from when he was young, and that kind of makes it go, okay. He wasn't driving a Ferrari when he first started. So he was driving, he's driven 4 different cars, and I'm not sure what he was, what exactly he was driving when he first won. I thought it was, he deserved a mention because he kind of ticks a lot of that criteria. So that amazing consistency, longevity.
I think he just deserves an honourable mention, definitely, of one that you will not see on many lists. Yeah. I looked at a lot of top 10 lists and really didn't see his name.
Yeah, and you've got to think, are you a motorsports fan?
Not at all.
So, and this is why as well, he's the reach that he's got that everyone knows who Schumacher is. So he's identified as, oh yeah, he's the best race car driver of all time. And you don't really need to know anything about F1.
Definitely.
Yeah. So, yeah. So what's your first cab off the rank?
Well, you've thrown me a bit with that Schumacher one as far as how left field it was.
Yeah.
So I guess I will go with who I'm definitely putting him top, probably 3. It's a matter of where he ends up, but I believe he's in top 3 is Michael Jordan.
Okay. I'm with you on that.
And he's a type A.
Yeah.
I feel like his competition was stiff. I feel like his ability on the court was built over time through hard work.
Mm-hmm.
And with that hard work, I feel like anyone can pick up a basketball and shoot a basketball anywhere. So I feel like the sport is universal.
Yeah.
The sport crosses demographics. So anyone can play basketball. I feel like as far as cultural change, I mean, I watched Space Jam with my kids.
Yeah.
A couple of nights ago. I mean, he still has that pull. Like they know who Michael Jordan is.
Yeah.
He's been out and not playing for a long time and they still recognize him. One of the big things I think with these athletes, and it depends how far you can go, but this is what I really put towards my GOAT, my number one GOAT at least, is what do they do off the court to impact social change.
Yeah. Are they an icon of a generation?
Exactly. And I think Jordan, right? He was an icon, and he is an icon. But did he help social change? So did he do did he, you know, stand up for something as far as in his own demographic? Did he stand up for something? And I would have to say no.
Yeah. And there's a few other things with him, and I always think of – so he was – so how – what do you think? So his first run with the Bulls was how long, 10 years?
Oh, something like that, yeah.
So, and it was – they won – what did they win? Six titles, I mean, and he was
– 3 or 4, and then 3 when he came back or something.
Yeah, and he was MVP.
Yeah.
So many times. So he won six championships. One thing that – I'd have to look at is with the comeback. So everyone probably knows that he tried his hand at baseball. And did he play for the Cubs? Who did he play for?
He played for the White Sox.
White Sox, that's right. So he went and did something else. And then he was flirting with playing golf at one stage as well. And
he was.
Then when he came back and he went to the Wizards, it kind of – maybe he shouldn't have.
So he came back and he went back to the Bulls.
Okay.
And then he left again and went to the Wizards.
Okay. So that's what it was.
Yeah. So for a final last hurrah, I think they even gave him a percentage of the team to come to the Wizards.
Okay.
Yeah. I think Michael, I was thinking about this the other day with LeBron, how like, with LeBron, they're already talking about the next up-and-coming thing. I think people have short memories in today's news cycle and all of that, to the point that people forget about Jordan already, as far as they're already questioning whether LeBron's a GOAT or whatever else. And I just think for what he did, his image on the court, his crazy just how he basically took over games and all of his memorable shots, the dunks, the flair, the dunk from the free throw line,
yeah,
things like that. He starred in a movie. I mean, he was a cultural icon. And
his shoes. You can get Jordan golf shoes now. That's how far he's spread.
Oh, Jordans are a huge business, obviously. Yeah. So for me, he's pretty close to the top. In and around the top three. He's very close to number one for me.
Yeah. I think he's like that for most people, I dare say.
Yeah. And LeBron, as far as an honorable mention, LeBron is getting there. And I think how LeBron has decided that he's going to go past Jordan is by doing the off the court stuff.
Yeah.
So that we look back on LeBron, and who knows, LeBron might be bloody president. LeBron might be like, he is doing things off the court. You know, you would never see LeBron walking around the golf course with a cigar hanging out of his mouth and gambling on things. Like, you know, that's not what he's doing. He's trying to, you know, change the world, yeah. LeBron is.
Yeah.
So that's where I feel that Michael falls to my actual number one, which I won't get to yet, obviously. So, yeah, Jordan, I've got in my top three. Who else you got?
Yeah, so this one, and I wanted to talk to you about this because I can't make my mind up, and this is from tennis, and I thought,
oh, interesting.
So it's the Federer or Serena? Like,
I'd 100% go Serena.
I would until she fucking made a clown of herself last time. Just that.
What do you mean made a clown of herself?
Well, when she spat the dummy at the US Open.
Yeah, I mean, you can't tell people how they should feel. I love Serena.
Yeah, I do as well. But put in perspective so people know that I was seeing that, like, living in Japan, and this was Japan's first ever major.
So what? Yeah, can you review that for me?
Yeah. So she was the Japan's first ever, tennis major champion, and it was what should have been like one of the biggest celebrations for someone in Japan. They're finally, they've had tennis players, you know, in and around, kind of almost getting there. And then this girl's kind of become a bit of a star, and she was crying the whole time. She was like, "Oh, what have I done? I shouldn't have done this because of what happened." So it kind of spoiled that. And I understand that the intention wasn't there to do that, but it kind of did. And then I think of. And going off that, and this is why I was thinking a little bit with Federer, because of his legacy, he's just the way he, and this is kind of why it's kind of tipped the scale, the way he carries himself.
No question.
I remember watching Federer when he had long hair, and maybe it was the first time he won the Australian Open, and I wasn't the biggest fan. And whether that was because at that time, and my memory isn't the greatest, but whether that's because Rafter and stuff were playing, and then he was a rival of everyone loved Rafter, that kind of thing. But he has now, I think, wow, this guy is just, he shows every characteristic of like a champion's champion. There's no downsides of Federer. That's why he kind of, I'd have to put him there in front of her.
There is no downside to Federer, and he has that classic European gracious, or Scandinavian, is he?
No, he's Swiss.
Swiss?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they have that classic air of way of winning.
Yeah.
Whereas you'll look at you know, maybe an Australian or an American or whatever, and they might be a bit more obnoxious when they win.
Yeah, they're in your face.
They're in your face a bit more. Do you know what I mean? And they're not as polished, possibly. I love Serena.
Well, I'm not saying I don't. She was really. I was trying to decide, and then like I was going through how I've kind of formulated my ideas, and it was. I guess the competition, the rivalries.
Oh, I agree.
This was one that why I probably have gone Roger. Who has Serena's biggest rival been on a long time basis? She's kind of like had her challenges. She's just knocked them over. But in the era of tennis where it's been arguably the best. When you think of it, Nadal, Djokovic, Federer, these three players, if the other two weren't there, they would have won 50 Grand Slams each. So that's.
I agree. And you look at it like, you also look at, but is that just because Serena's so great?
That could also be it. But the gap between those three and the rest is pretty good. Like I don't have the information, but you have to think of how many Grand Slams those three have won in the last 15 years compared to what the rest of people have won.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can't deny she's won 23 Grand Slams. So she's got to be, and I don't know how you, but I'd say she's got to be the greatest female athlete of all time.
She's the GOAT female athlete of all time, no question. Tennis to me is a sort of one of those type B sports where not everyone can do it.
Mm.
Not everyone can spend time at a tennis court. Like,
There's a bit of money involved. It's a little bit elitist.
It's elitist. So they don't even sit in my top five. I respect it. And I think good on them. But I had both Federer and Williams down. I don't know. Do you think they're top five?
I think they're kind of bordering on that.
Very close.
Yeah. They're in the top 10 for sure.
Yeah.
Both of them. And she's holding her ground probably quite well with the men, which is, look, in this day and age, it's, you know, it's still a feat in itself to be even talked about like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, what have you got next?
So what I've got next, I might put them both in the same, like two in the same sort of bracket.
Yeah.
Because they're both Olympic sports, and I think there's things with both of them that rule that sort of – look, they're amazing in their own rights, but Usain Bolt.
Yeah, I had him down actually.
And Michael Phelps.
Yeah.
So once again, swimming, elitist. Not everyone can get to the pool. You know, I know we're being a bit negative here, but you've got to look at it like this. Like, as a sport, not everyone can do what Phelps does. And also, Phelps was born with a body that just is perfect for swimming.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's sort of just like Usain Bolt was born with a body that was built for running. With Usain Bolt, his whole team has tested positive at one time or another for drugs, for PEDs. I'm not saying he has. The guy slows down as he runs over the finish line beating people and smiles at the freaking thing. I've followed sport my whole life. I'm not going to be gullible to think that there's no way the guy hasn't been on PEDs.
Yeah. But we did say that we're not going to cast a shadow on someone unless they've been tested positive.
Definitely not. So I'm not casting a shadow on Usain Bolt, but I'm putting him up there with Phelps, probably better, because the sport is more universal. Running, anyone can run. So I'm putting him ahead of Phelps, but I don't know where he sits in my top, whether he gets into the top five or not.
Yeah. So can I ask you, and I don't know how much coverage, because I've only seen bits and pieces. So I know that he's now, is he getting any games in the A-League?
Yeah, so this is a crazy thing. Usain Bolt has come to Australia to play soccer. I know he was like, slated to get some games, but I don't know where it's at, to be honest.
We'll have to talk to Soz about that. He'd be on the ball.
Yeah, so there's a guy, a Perth Glory star, Andy Keogh, says Usain Bolt is a farce in the soccer.
Yeah, well, I know that he's trained with United at some point, but he's not going to get that training unless he's Usain Bolt, so he's using his
influence. He's playing. He's playing. There's footage of him playing. So he's an incredible athlete, incredible specimen. Who knows if anyone will break his records?
No, I don't. Well, I don't think so. I think he's, at least in our lifetime, I think he's pretty much there.
Yeah. So I have sort of Usain Bolt and Michael Phelps Usain Bolt quite a bit ahead of Phelps, but I have them up there.
Yeah. So why, I guess with swimming, and that's what you've got to think of, is us being Australians, we're pretty fortunate that we can all be thrown in a pool when we're young. So we all kind of grow up swimming. It's in our schools and stuff. Yes. So I guess, and this is what it comes to as well. So your first world country sports, and then your reach, and that's that. I get a little bit elitist status, so it's got to come into play, doesn't it?
It does. I never looked at it like this, but then, you know, like, look at soccer and why soccer's big in some countries and not as, you know, like, because people can get a ball and kick it. Like, it's the access to games and it's the access for people to be able to play it. And if you're going to, you know, the greatest sport ever, well, everyone has to have been able to pick it up and do it, whatever that is.
Yeah.
But, you know, you look at the interesting thing with this elitist conversation, though, you look at countries that love cricket and you look at India.
okay, and you look at how they play it with pretty much nothing in some, like, you know, they'll just play it everywhere in India. And, you know, people that don't understand cricket, it is one of the most watched sports in the world.
So I looked at it earlier and I was, when I was doing a bit of research. So viewership wise, it's soccer followed by cricket. And this third one would probably surprise you. It's field hockey. It's the third most watched sport in the world.
Oh, my God.
And that's probably got something to do with India as well.
Yeah.
So while we're on that topic of cricket, we both had a quick chat about this before and we both had it on our list.
Yeah, yeah. We should talk about the GOAT of cricket, definitely.
So, and this guy is probably, if you're looking at averages and stuff, he's got to be ball sports-wise in the...
He's Babe Ruth status. I don't know whether he's better than Babe Ruth.
So to put it into perspective for everyone, everyone obviously can guess who we're talking about. It's Bradman.
Sir Donald Bradman.
Yeah.
If you want to look him up.
Yeah, so his, in Australia, we all know, okay, 99.94 batting average. But if you look at that in comparison for towards America and with basketball and baseball, which are arguably the two biggest sports, that would be like having a 0.392 batting average in baseball. And on the records in baseball, the highest, the record average batting average is 0.366. So he surpasses that by a long shot. Mm. And it'd also be in comparison to averaging 43 points a game in basketball, which at the moment the 30.1 is the greatest, or the record with the averages. So that gives you some.
And how long did he sustain it for?
It was a while, but it was over, I believe that it was over wartime. So it was a little bit hard, but I don't think it was. So when you look at, okay, he only played so many games, but they weren't traveling as well. They weren't playing as many games because they would have to take a boat to England, which took 5 weeks. So, and you think of the conditions.
It's one of those things that if you're from another country, you're going to have your country sporting stars. So if you ask an Australian like we are to list the greatest sports people of all time, Donald Bradman is always going to come up for an Australian because we know about him. We know his history. Sort of like how for Canada or hockey, like they'll say Wayne Gretzky, right?
Yeah.
And they'll say he's this greatest cultural figure. You need to look into it. He's incredible. Kelly mentioned one of his stories where he would get a stick when he didn't have a bat and he'd hit the ball against the corrugated wall, which is a wobbly wall, and just keep
hitting. Yeah, I think it was with a golf ball too, if memory serves me correctly. So if anyone knows...
if anyone knows what... That'd be near impossible.
So yeah, even trying to hit a bouncy ball off the wall, which is going in different angles, is hard. So
exactly. Not
even just trying to catch it, but trying to hit it back and repeatedly doing it. So I just had a quick look. And so he was... His first class and test career was for 22 years.
Holy shit. See, we've got a short memory, and we did say, like, with this GOAT chat, we're really just we're keeping it recent.
Yeah.
Like, we're not going too far back because, you know, even with basketball, people think Bill Russell is potentially the greatest of all time, or, like, you know, guys that were, you know, prior to Jordan and Magic and all those sort of people. So I don't think we should you know, this is just a rough top five.
Yeah, but as Australians, we had to mention he's probably Australia's greatest. Would you agree?
Greatest ever sportsman? Yes. I don't think there can be a debate with that.
Nice. All right. Who's next? Am I going?
I think you're going.
Okay, so this is obviously going to be a given coming from me, but Tiger.
Okay, so interesting. I saw Jack Nicklaus on a lot of lists, but not Tiger.
Yeah. So for me, so Jack has done that, but I also think of probably the one thing that's got me is just that reach and that spread of the game. So what
he's changed the whole demographic.
Yeah, stuff. And Jack probably did that, and I wasn't alive to know, and that's probably why I've kind of gone with Tiger rather so. But I think one big thing that needs to come into the equation is have you had a video game named after you?
So we got – that's interesting. Kelly has. Tiger has. Who else in our list has?
That's what I'm trying
– Jordan.
No, that's just always NBA Jam, isn't it?
Yeah, Jordan hasn't. I mean, he's been on the cover.
Yeah.
Hasn't had a video game named after him. That's a really interesting and it's a good video game, let's be honest. Yes.
How many – I played Tiger – so much, and everyone played it.
I mean, watching Tiger, and it's a proven fact, people don't watch golf. The majority don't watch golf unless Tiger's in it. And, I mean, he's that much of a game changer. Was Nicklaus doing that? I don't know. But Tiger transcends the sport. He's another icon. You can say he's an icon, right? And for our generation, I think Tiger goes in there.
Yeah. So, and Tiger's still got time. So, I truly believe that he will continue and just develop it. So, he's shy of Jack and through the how many majors. But I think, through generation, like Tiger's been our generation, so it's probably that's why I'm going. So it's close though.
Yeah, I think it's incredible what he's done. And another one with the alleged cloud of potential PEDs. Yep. Is it true? Isn't it true? Who knows? But he's also another one similar to Jordan and in the similar vein to Jordan where I ask, what has he stood for?
Mm. He stood for bitches, man.
Oh, my God. Edit?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Like, but really, what has he... What's he stood up for?
Yeah, and that's you don't really see it too much, but I like that we know at least a little bit about him. We kind of know that his good points. He's been pretty open with his doing it, and then to actually,
I'm not talking about the transgression. It's transgressions. I don't have an issue with all that. Like everyone, that's fine. He's made mistakes, but I mean, like he's got all this money. How is he changing the culture? How is he changing, you know, obviously people follow golf. Yeah, that's great. But what is he doing on a global, like, because these people, we're talking about icons, allegedly.
Pretty much. So I don't know what, and I've never really looked at his charity work or, I know all those golfers pretty much do it because their publicists say, okay, the charity is set up, the Tiger Woods Foundation, this much is going into it. You know, they host their golf day, they raise money, but it's not standing up for, say, one specific cause. It's just doing it for that reason. So he doesn't really – that's why he wouldn't be number one, in my opinion, because it's not there. He's up there definitely because of just overall domination, skill, who he's played against, the comeback – the comeback's a massive one. And then
the comeback's big and the comeback's still happening.
Yeah, exactly. And the consistency, the longevity, he kind of, for me, he ticks everything except that probably that one thing there, like the impact on society in a positive manner.
Well, one month off, apparently, the Tiger versus Phil
event. Oh, we'll be doing a bit of coverage on that.
Jeez, I feel like we should be going for that.
That would be – oh, no, there's no spectators out here.
Oh, you're kidding. No, there's got to be spectators. No,
I don't know. I'll look into it.
Okay. So Tiger, I think he's a great one. I had him on my list with Jack Nicklaus. Jack's game, yeah, as you said, it was before my time. I'm not discounting him, but would you put them sort of in the same?
Yeah, I think you've got to say that they're definitely on par.
Sort of like how Serena and Federer on the same, and Slater and Stewart. Yeah. Jack and Tiger.
So yeah. I'd put them in the same, but just for our generation. Look, that's what we're kind of we're not talking when we're saying GOAT. We're just talking about. And it's probably better to say icon of our sporting icons and whatnot of our generation has to be kind of mixed into that. What we're kind of talking about.
Have you got? So we're getting down to sort of the pointy end. Have you got a clearly defined number one?
Not really. And this is what we're going to have to talk about and kind of debate a little bit, because we're probably going to be close, but I don't know if we'll have the exact same person.
So I'm happy to go with my number one.
All right.
So if you're looking at everything, as far as a sport that anyone can do, as far as a sport that, as far as something that sort of a person that becomes an icon and that has an impact and cultural impact and changes the way society views things, changes culture and is also incredible sport, like incredible star globally. For me, it's Ali.
He was pretty much got me. I had him up there for everything that he's done.
Yeah, and for everything that he's done. And it's weird because I didn't have him on my list for ages. And then once I started digging into boxing and looking at, like, the Thriller in Manila fight and, like, his changing from Cassius Clay and to Muhammad Ali, 56 wins, 37 knockouts.
So he was 56 wins, 5 losses, but those three of his 5 losses came in his last 4 fights. And that was, I guess, when he was kind of like,
he was getting sick.
But he was flirting with retirement. I think it's a sport like that, you can't have any doubt of what you're doing. He was, and when we've kind of mentioned a few people, like we were talking about Jack before. Jack's impact, it's then we say, oh, we'll pick Tiger because of that. But Ali has just held the test of time.
He's held the test of time. Another thing I don't know if he created, but he definitely is known for, is his mouth. He could burn people and trash talk, which I just think is one of the most important things out of sport, is the mental, the trash talking. He could do that better than
pretty much anyone. Yeah, he would be. He started that, didn't he? And that's you've got to think about it. It's a lot of these sports and a lot of sport in general. A lot of people are really good, but the mental. It's only that 0.001% of those top guys, it's because they're mentally just on a different level. There's a lot of people with the same skill that can do the same thing, but they just can't get there because they're not mentally there.
Exactly. And he stood up against the war and how he singly basically he sort of opposed the Quran and all of that, but he stood up against he brought protest back into sport in a big way. And the voice of the sporting athlete and the sports star. He brought it back into light, which I don't think we have sports stars with the balls of what he had back then. You've got issues and you've got people that are getting close to speaking how he spoke and how he opposed certain issues. But I don't think we're there yet. And that's why I'm waiting for a LeBron to make a, you know, a stand up against guns and say, all right, I'm standing on this side of the fence and this is what I'm going to protest about for the rest of the year. Or, you know, with the Black Lives Matter stuff. And I think that sort of stuff is it's getting there. But Muhammad Ali's vocalness was
yeah, massive. So his ideals and his what he thought the line was between black and white, he wasn't worried about his boxing career and what effect that money, anything like that. He was just – his number one thing was, okay, what is important in life? So I think now you're living in a society where it's these guys are on such big backs. They don't want to big bucks. They don't want to jeopardize that money. They're not going to take a stand against something. They're not going to do this or do that because they're worried about the impact that it's going to have on them. What people think. He didn't give a fuck about what anyone else thought. He just thought this is what I think is right. What I think is wrong. I'm standing for it.
He's like, why am I going to war for a country that's not supporting me and supporting my people and all that sort of stuff? So as far as, like, sport, I feel like he is the biggest icon and he is, you know, pretty much by far and away the greatest of all time.
So
I don't think it's even close.
And it's funny because of how I had it with, like, a lot of these guys have just dominated their sport, so it's hard to kind of compare apples to oranges in regards to what they've done in their respective sports. That's when we needed to look outside of that and go, okay, what was their other impacts on the world? And that's why I had him up there as well.
Is it a sport that everyone can do? Is it a sport that any culture, any person can pick up boxing gloves and go train? Like, they can. I don't care what you say, they can do
is
that.
Is money have anything to do with someone succeeding in it? No.
Exactly, no. I mean, yeah, I think it's pretty straightforward to put Ali as number one. There's obviously lots of honorable mentions. We haven't even put one.
Yeah, I did have it because you went to it, and it's and I kind of left this one because there's that debate in this modern era, is it Messi, is it Ronaldo? And it's really subjective to how you look at it. And because neither of them have won a World Cup, I think that's if one of them can do it, they're getting a bit long in the tooth, but if one of them can turn it around and do that, they're going to really shoot themselves up into that. But they've dominated. But they've also dominated in a league, which I don't know if people how familiar they are with soccer. They're both pretty much played in the Spanish league for the majority of. Well, Messi's pretty much played in the Spanish league. Ronaldo did play in England for a bit with United, but that Spanish league is not the best league in the world competitively. England's the top when you think of. Every team can beat every team where there's a few teams, it's Barca, Real, and then there's a couple other teams that kind of do it, but it's not, they're not in my top five for that reason. There's still a lot to be done for them, but you can't question they are amazing and they're pretty good. Messi's had a few problems with the law. Ronaldo's just recently, someone's trying to me to him or whatever or whatnot. So there's, it's an interesting one. Your thoughts?
Soccer's not my expertise. Obviously, Pelé, I've read that he was
a weapon. So, and he had the World Cups to prove it as well.
Yeah, I think if you're not in a league that's dominant, I question whether that. And then you also look at them like, and you toss them around with Jordan and Ali and Tyler and Bolt and names like that. Like, just throw out Serena Williams. Federer, like, throw out their names with that, and it starts getting a bit diluted.
Yeah,
in my opinion.
I know we touched on Kelly at the start, but he's definitely up there. But that
Kelly, in my opinion, is definitely up there. It's so hard, and it's not worth trying to convince someone that he's due to be, and he's like, he's worth being in the top 10 or top 5 or whatever. Kelly, to me, as far as his accomplishments, they stand out and he's on their own.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Where does he sit? He's done a lot and he's starting to have more of a voice sort of socially. That is obviously what he's moving into. But I mean, he's been world champion 11 times. That included 5 consecutive titles. He was the youngest ever to win one at 20, and he was the oldest to ever win one at 39. He's still competing. I'm pretty sure he's won over 55 contests. Yeah,
he's developed an artificial wave. He's got a clothing brand that's
fully sustainable. And
he's looking towards the environment. He's very socially conscious.
He's also people don't understand how hard it is to win a contest as well. So you're talking about a 30-minute heat against the world's best surfers. It starts off with round one or whatever. Like, you have got to battle your way. Just like a tennis contest, but you're battling in some harsh.
Well, you've got the variables, and that's what a lot of people will never understand with surfing is the variables.
Life-threatening conditions at some of these breaks. And he is doing it he's respected, which is big in surfing. He's respected from a style standpoint as well. So that's a huge. A lot of surfers have won world titles. I'd say Mick Fanning is one where his style at the time wasn't what I would necessarily like. It's all in the mind of the
subjective.
It's got their own thing. Subjective. Kelly has incredible style, incredible understanding of the ocean. So I think, yeah.
So yeah. So I guess that kind of concludes our kind of debate on that. I think we just had our ideas separate to try to work it out. And it was interesting that we kind of landed on the same.
We didn't discuss it, but we've got exactly the same sort of thing, which is crazy, but it's also, it just shows that, there are some pretty clear people that there's, people like LeBron that are obviously on the come up. I can't think of any other athletes that are around his age that are sort of GOAT, potential GOAT conversations. Can you?
I'm trying to think of, with a sport that you get such longevity out of, not really.
I mean, any golfers? No.
No. Time will tell with that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So really, LeBron's the only one who's maybe in the conversation of doing something close, but yeah.
Well, we'll touch on it another time anyway, because it's always a good one to look at.
And obviously, we've got the one of the largest horse races in the world coming up in 2 weeks in Australia, the Melbourne Cup.
Yes, Tuesday.
It's on Tuesday the 6th.
Sweet, I'm off. I might be. might be away, so I might try to find somewhere to watch it.
Yeah, well, you think Kentucky Derby and Melbourne Cup, and I'm sure there's another. Like, it is huge. The nation stops, and it's a huge horse race, which the amount of money that gets gambled on the Melbourne Cup, I would be scared to
see. So we'll do a few betting tips. We might look at some trifectas and quaddies and stuff like that.
Definitely. We're going to do a full Melbourne Cup betting forecast. Yeah. So we'll get the form guide out. No short odds ones. And especially with the Melbourne Cup, there is no point. Like, just do yourself a favour. Don't bet on the short odds.
It's not worth it.
It's not fucking worth it.
Yeah. So how's your week shaping up? What have you got on?
Week's shaping up great. I'm just looking forward to having a nice, enjoyable weekend. We're going to do a podcast with Soz, get that uploaded, and we've got a few exciting pods in the works, a few big guests.
It's always good.
Coming up. Yeah, so just trying to do that, mate, and just, enjoying this warm weather.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, I'm a little bit jealous.
Well, you're going to have to get back here, or I'll get back over to Japan and we'll tear
Sounds
it up.
Good. All right.
All right, buddy, good chat. And listeners, thanks for listening. And subscribe to The Reid Pod on iTunes. And also hit us up on Instagram, REIDPOD, with questions.
And if you disagree with what we have to say, tell us.
Yeah, hit us up. The best way is to do it on Instagram, because that's the quickest. And I don't really check the emails. So, send us all your love and hate.
Awesome. All right, mate.
All right, buddy. Thanks for listening, guys. Take care.